It was called Calvary. He died, but he didn't stay dead. The sun refused to shine. A centurion began to preach and say, surely, surely, he is the Son of God. But when he died, the Bible says, he said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. So Joseph bought a tomb, put him down in the tomb. But the Bible says that on the third day, the earth began to quake and the rock rolled away. And he got up early. Say, early, early Sunday morning with all power. Anybody know this power?
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welsh Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio, its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Our message today is in the form of an invitation. Found in Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 11. And verse 11 is all I want to lift out this morning. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And when you have it, say amen. Amen. Would you begin reading now? Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Now, this is a very familiar passage of scripture, brothers and sisters. We know it from Sunday school, from church services. We know it from reading our devotionals. It's a very profound passage of scripture, but many things are missed in this story because many of us forget that he's talking to a father, Jesus rather, is talking about a father and his son, two that are in great relationship. He's dealing with the fact that there is a depth and profundity to their relationship where the father and the son are affected by the separation of the son going his way apart from the Father's way. And so many of you already know the story, and so I'm not going to belabor that. I do want to just walk through it just very lightly to get to the 6 points I want to bring out of this story, because it is invitational. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart and said that God wants to invite his people back into a closer relationship with him. And remember again, this is called the prodigal son. But the truth of the matter is, it should be the prodigal father, because you're talking about extravagant. You're talking about giving in such a way that it is beyond commonality. It is so rich and so real and so wonderful. It is really about the father's love to the son that is this rich. But what happens is the story is flipped, because the focus is on the son spending the father's money. And so one day the son comes to the father and he says, "Father, give me the portion of good that falleth to me." Now he's now reached the age of a legal manhood. And so now he goes and has the right to ask his father for the portion that is his. His elder brother is the firstborn son, so he receives double portion, double honor. And so knowing this, knowing the rules, he goes and asks for the portion that falleth to him. His father gives him the portion. He takes it, he gathers all of his things, and immediately he heads out for a foreign country. One of the reasons why he heads for a foreign country is because of the desires and motives of his heart. They're not right. They're not holy. They're not within the teachings of what he has grown up with. He's ready to live. He wants to live the wild life. He wants to live however he feels like living, doing whatever he feels like doing. He want to live like Frank Sinatra. He want to live his way. He want to be able to say, "I did it my way." And so he goes to a far country and he begins spending his wealth with riotous living. I mean, just whatever you can think of, he's doing it. He's enjoying it. He is having the time of his life. But something happens that always does. The money runs out. And you got to have pretty deep pockets for the money not to run out. But it ran out. And when it ran out, so did his friends. So did those who parted with him. Those who hung with him and said, "Man, you the man. I'm sticking with you. You the man." And yet when he looked for them, they were nowhere to be found. When he wanted them to help him, they were nowhere near. And so he had to find a job, which was something he was not accustomed to doing, because he was rich. And he assigns himself to the fact that I've got to get out here and work now. And he goes and he connects himself with a pig farmer who raised swine. And he goes there and he labors and he even has to eat the food that the swine did eat. Now you talk about falling from grace all the way down. But there is a sense of nobody knows who I am, where I'm from, or what I'm used to. And so he knew his father didn't know his condition. His family and his friends did not know his situation. So he was okay with that until he got to the point one day that he had had enough of living life on the bad side. And he came to himself, the word says. And when he came to himself, something happened within himself. And my brothers and sisters, here's where it begins to get interesting, because one of the things that I want us to know is the devil will give you every interesting, wonderful thing that will keep your attention as long as he can get something from you. But then when he gets the best that you have and there is nothing left, then he shows you he has nothing left for you. But he comes to himself in the pig pen at the worst part of his life. He begins to think back from whence he's come. You see, one of the wonderful things that I think about that's so important to the people of God, you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he grows older, he will not depart from. It doesn't say he won't try. It doesn't say he won't venture. It says he won't depart from it. In other words, when he goes out and he has it his way and he does it his way and he finds out his ways doesn't work, he reverts back to what he was taught originally. The way of the Lord is the right way. And so he came to himself right there in the midst of this slop and the hog's pen, and the food that they ate filled his belly. And he said, how many servants do my father have with food enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Am I losing my mind? Man, the quality of food that the hogs ate at my daddy's house were better than these here. And I'm feeling this in my belly. What's wrong with me? It's the decisions I've made that brought me down and down and down. You see, that reaches a point where you come to yourself, you realize you can't blame everybody else for your problems. You can't blame everybody else for your decisions. You can't blame everybody for where you are, because it was what you chose to do, where you chose to go, what you chose to be. And so there he was in a predicament he had prepared for himself. You see, one of the things the devil does is he always shows you the upper side of fun and life and all of that, but he never shows you the downsides. He shows you the part, I've shared this many times before, he shows you how suave and debonair you look with a little drink in your hand, woman on your arm, and you looking like, yeah, you the man. But he doesn't show you what happens when you become drunk and filthy and your money get lost and things get, and you come down on the bottom side of life. He never showed you. They tell you how fun, you know, smoking dope is and taking crack and doing all these drugs and all that stuff. That's the upside, the fun side. But they never tell you the opposite side, the dark side of that, the problematic side of that. They never reveal, Satan doesn't, those who are trying to get you connected doesn't tell you how it does not end like it starts. And many times people's lives are lost in that same process. But he sees he could blame nobody but himself. And so when he came to himself, the Bible says, he said, how many? How many servants do my father have with food enough to spare? And I'm the son of wealth. And I'm going through this. And my brothers and sisters, so many people of God have walked away from God. And they're out there in those worlds, in the world doing those things that are not like God. And they had to get away from the church because they did not want the world to recognize who they were. And down on their luck and down at the bottom, there they are. And the world doesn't want to help them. And the only way they're going to get help is to acknowledge, I messed up. I made the decisions to be where I am. I've got to do something about it. And so the first thing I want you to know is that he came to himself in his situation, not when he got out of it, but while he was right there. You see, you're going to have to recognize if you're going to make things better in your life, you're going to have to start right where you are. At the bottom, in the mess, in the stuff you've created. Take ownership of it. I did it. I made the decisions. I can't blame nobody else for this. This is what I chose to do. And there you begin to deal with the reality. And so he began to recognize that he needed to repent. He needed to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee, and am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as a hired servant. Why? Because he has dishonored, disrespected the name of his father, the name of his God. He was not worthy to be called the son, but rather a servant. Because many of the servants were not of the same nationality. They were certainly not of the same religious beliefs. They were not believed to have been people who had the kind of heart toward their God and the life that was representative of their God. And so as servants, they were still treated well because the people they were serving were godly people. And so he began to do this. One, he made up his mind that he was going to admit he was the problem. Do you know that's why so many of us can't get life straight right now? Because we can't admit I'm the problem. They can't admit I'm the one who messed up. I said this. I went there. I did that. Now, the only time many of us repent is when we get caught. And it's at that point in time we have a half confession about how this happened. But most of us revert back to the Adam syndrome, the woman you gave me, the blessing you gave me, this you gave me. If you wouldn't have given me this, I wouldn't have done that. I was doing all right till you. We've got to realize that it is us who have got to come to the reality. So he repents in his spirit. But before he could repent to his father, he has to do something else. One, return. Return. He has to go back to where it all started. He has to go back, but he doesn't go back like he left. He doesn't go back prosperous like he left. He didn't go back well-groomed and smelling good, looking good, feeling good. He doesn't go back in the same character that he left. But when he comes back, he's looking like a vagabond. Like there's no friend in the world. Like he has hit life's lowest level. And here, his hair now grown long, beard grown long, his face all dirty, his clothes all filthy. Keep in mind, his job was in a pig's pen. Slop, mess. And so that's how he looks. But he returned. He returned. The second thing he did when he returned was he repented. He repented. He made up his mind in the hog's pen. I made this mistake. I turned to this life. I did this. It is my fault. He never blamed his father. He never blamed his brother. He never blamed anyone else but himself. He repented. What does that say to us? That there are some things that we have done in our hearts, underneath the skin, that other folk may not know about, but we know about them. And God knows about them. And we cannot enter back into that and we place with God until we learn how to repent. You see, David knows about not only the sins he's committed, but the secret sins, the hidden sins. Why are those so important? Because those are the ones that the devil taunts us with. Those are the ones that Paul says does so easily beset us. Those are the ones that the devil still has a noose around our neck. Those are the sins that even when we're having a wonderful time, the devil brings those ones back up to us. You ain't holy. You ain't righteous. You ain't this. You're not that. You're not the other. Because you're not repented from those things, and they're still underneath the skin. And what you miss is what he did with you, with those before, until you repent them and remove them from your life, he has the propensity to pull you back in again. All you need is time and opportunity. The right time and the right opportunity, and you've fallen all over again. Let me just ask a question real quick in the house. How many of you committed the same sin over and over? Okay, now let me change it. How many of you committed the same sin and repented for it and committed it over and repented and over and repented and over? Well, see, the repentance was not a true repentance. It was a head repentance, not a heart repentance. It was a repentance that relieved you of what folk knew and not what God knew. You weren't willing to release what God knew. You only wanted to release what men knew. And so the devil uses that right when you think it's all right, right when you think you're back on top, right when you think it's going well, he will come right back and pull you into the hole that God had to pick you up out of. So he returned and he repented. But I want you to see now, there's one more step, but before I go there, I want to look at the Father now. Because when he returned, look at the position of the Father. He was waiting. The Father was waiting. When he decided to return, the Father had already made up his mind that he had instilled enough in that boy that as soon as he got enough of himself, he'd come back home. The Father knew that he had instilled enough principles of God's word. He had instilled enough of him, principles of his love for his son, and made it clear, listen, the world is not your friend. The world does not love you. The world is not your home. And when they get through doing all they can do to you, remember, you can always come back home. He knew that when the boy had had enough of himself, he would come back home. And that was the Father waiting a long way off. He's coming down that long dirt road, and the Father is right outside waiting. But there's something else that the Father does when he gets closer. When he recognizes, and this is one of the things that I thank God for, the fact that demonstrates in Scripture many of us miss, that when the Father saw him, he ran, the Father, and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And listen at this. He knew it was his son, even though it didn't look like his son. It didn't smell like his son. He wasn't dressed like his son. He knew it was his son because a father, listen, when a father, my mother and a father, they know their children. Listen, it's not what he had on him, it's what he had in him that the father recognized. And he had the good sense to come back home. The Father ran to him. Why? Because one, he was waiting on him. That was no surprise to the Father that he came back. It wasn't like, you decided to come back now. Look at Mr. Big Shot here now. He ain't giving none of that sarcastic mess. He didn't even try to play that. He didn't miss his son. He missed him. He wanted him. Now keep in mind, this is the same way the Heavenly Father feels about his people, his children here on earth. So secondly, when his Father does that, he immediately commences to repent. And the Father, second, weighed his repentance. Wait his repentance. He was watching, waiting. He was watching, waiting for him. And then when he began to open his mouth, he weighed his repentance. How do you say that? Because when he said, Father, I have sinned, that was good enough there. The Father didn't ask him for a description and details of his sin. Didn't ask him what he did, where he went, who he was with, on and on and on. When he said, Father, I have sinned, he knew that his heart had been changed. And while he was making his confession of repentance, the Father was giving a command to his servants. Bring the robe. Bring the ring. Bring the shoes. And oh yeah, by the way, kill a fatted calf.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard, That's L-O-B-E-R-I-O.